small startup airline has taken a big step toward competing with the major air carriers. JetBlue, which began flying out of New York's Kennedy Airport last year, announced yesterday that it's opening a second base of operations at Long Beach Airport near Los Angeles. NPR's Snigdha Prakash reports that JetBlue's success has not come easy.
In hindsight, the signs were all there. JetBlue was going to be a different kind of startup airline. It set up shop in the nation's richest air travel market, New York. Most startups only dream of cracking that nut. David Neelman is CEO of JetBlue.
Now, this is my third airline, and I've got a lot of experience in doing startup low-fare carriers. And so we went out and bought brand-new airplanes. We ordered $4 billion worth of airplanes and raised a lot of money from our venture capital investors.
JetBlue began by flying to Fort Lauderdale and to Tampa, the most popular destination for New Yorkers. It flew within New York, to Rochester and to Buffalo, and into New England. All this for 35% to 60% less than the big airlines. Within 6 months, it was turning a profit. It began flying toward the other coast, to Denver, Salt Lake City, Seattle and California. Again, David Neelman.
Now we're adding on that by coming to Long Beach and kind of going back the other way now. We'll start flying New York on the 29th of August for the same fares that we're serving out of Ontario for $129, but then we'll add other East Coast cities on this side.
JetBlue will fly to Washington, D.C. and Boston, to Chicago and a handful of other cities. Travel to and from California accounts for a fifth of air travel revenue in the U.S., so expanding there is a smart move. But JetBlue's been forced into it because soon it'll be out of space at Kennedy. The airline subleases 6 gates from United right now. It can lay its hands on another 4, but Neelman says that won't be enough for the 17 new planes JetBlue will add to its fleet in the next 2 years.
We've been working earnestly with the Port Authority of New York to come up with a solution whereby we could add additional gates or we could construct a new terminal. And, you know, it just takes, you know, a while to do all that stuff. And we kind of saw that we were going to run out of time before we could add additional gates, and so we needed to kind of hop over and grab another city.
Getting into Kennedy wasn't easy in the first place. Landing and takeoff rights at Kennedy, LaGuardia, Washington's National, and Chicago's O'Hare airports are technically owned by the federal government. But they're parceled out among the large airlines, and it's almost unheard of for a small airline to break in. It took senators, congressmen, the New York governor, and the city's mayor for JetBlue to get into Kennedy. Democratic Congresswoman Louise Slaughter was among those who lobbied for JetBlue. She wasn't happy yesterday that JetBlue had to turn westward to expand.
We did work very hard to make sure that JetBlue got what was available at Kennedy. And for the Port Authority to be so cavalier about their needs is troubling to me.
This issue is hardly unique to Kennedy or New York. It's one that any small airline confronts again and again. David Neelman.
It's an issue, you know. I mean, there's a lot of airlines that don't really want to see JetBlue in their backyard, and so they tend to, you know, not want to, you know, lease us gates, and the airport doesn't have any available, and so it's something that we deal with every day.
Slaughter says she wants the government to do more to level the playing field for small airlines. Snigdha Prakash, NPR News, Washington.